I'm good. Okay, well, it's funny because what I'm speaking about this morning is going to line up with what Eric just said almost exactly, just said in a little bit of a different way. But before I share that, Glenn asked me after I shared with him to share what's been going on with the community, specifically what the Lord has been doing with me and what the Lord's accomplished through some of the work that I've been allowed to do. But I don't want to share that without us agreeing that we are celebrating what God is doing in the community. I mean, that is at the forefront of my heart this morning, that we do not confuse what I'm going to share with what Stephen is doing and what God is doing. Because even though he is working through me, this is him. He has orchestrated this. He has planned this, and he has allowed this to happen, and he makes it happen. Just like Joshua, where he goes and leads the army of Israel around Jericho, you know, and the wall falls on the seventh day, they hardly did anything. Before they went, though, the Lord said, I have given this city to you. I've given it to you. And that's how I feel. Every time I walk into the Lord's work, I already feel like he's given it to me. He's done everything. I simply have to obey his voice. So I am going to share what I've been doing with youth group, with the youth pastors in the community, and with the schools. I think it's important that you guys, as the body, as part of members of this church, know what's going on with our youth, with what's going on in the community, and how we, as a Salt Mine, play a role in all of that, right? Yeah? Okay. Amen. Thank you, Glenn. If you guys remember, you guys sent Devin and I to Washington, D.C. last summer for a big Jesus conference, and we had an amazing time. The weekend was amazing, and I came back and I shared this, that the Lord put heavy on my heart to make sure that our students who come into our youth group at sixth grade and leave as a senior in high school, that they leave biblically literate, that they can tell you what is in here, that they have a firm foundation to stand on. Because it's very, very apparent, especially with our youth group. We have a very unique youth group, and I believe it's been this way since the beginning of the Salt Mine, that it has been students who have had little to no interaction with church, with things of the Lord, with traditional Bible study, anything like that. And so they couldn't tell you where Genesis is, and they couldn't tell you what the last book of the Bible was. Some very basics, that they can't do that. So we want to teach them that, and that's what we've been doing. Every week we have a Bible study. We've been going through the Bible, Genesis. We'll end in Revelation probably in a couple years from now. Because last year we went from Genesis and we got about halfway through Judges. That's a good pace. And they are enjoying it. They're eating it up. They're digesting what's happening. We're just teaching them what Scripture says. And then following that study, we talk about how do we apply this to our lives now. Because Jesus does say, yes, it is good to know my words and what I speak, but apply them. That is the house that is on the rock. You have to apply them to your life. The second thing we've been doing is discipleship with our students. We want to see our students in the community, them doing good work, them being the good servant. We want to see them leading their friends to the Lord, their family to the Lord. So we're discipling them to understand Scripture, to understand the basics of their faith, and be able to communicate them well to others. And so that starts with simply saying, hey, do you want to be discipled? I'll explain what it is. And if they say, yeah, we'll do it. So right now we got like, out of probably the 20 kids that come, we have about 5 boys and a couple girls that are interested in doing that. So we're doing that with them. We've had a blast doing it. And with the young ones, if you guys have kids in there and they're not being discipled one-on-one with one of us, encourage them in that. Give them a little nudge in that direction. And we want to do that. We want to see more people like you guys in the community affecting change. I don't want our students to come and go the same as they were. I want them to be able to be world changers, to be people that make an difference in their families' lives and in their friends' lives. Amen? Amen. Okay. Because of the Salt Mine, and I say because of the Salt Mine because the Salt Mine and our leadership is unique. I have had the opportunity to meet with other youth pastors and coordinate with them. Because of what we do here and how we work, I've actually been encouraged to do that by our pastors. In other churches, that doesn't happen. It's like, oh, you want to get together, you want to talk. Okay, let's do that. You want to partner. Sure, that's cool. We'd actually never thought about that. So let's do it. So I have, over the last 2 years, gone out and just met as many of the youth pastors in the town as I can, and forming relationships with them, just for the point of us knowing each other, having a good relationship, being able to pray for one another, be a resource to one another where the Lord provides the opportunity. There was a point where one of the youth groups, they were doing something and they needed water and they needed some stuff from our thrift store for one of their needy families. And I was able very quickly, within a couple hours, to get them plugged in with where they needed to go and get them the resources they needed. And I believe it's because of the relationships that we've built with other churches. But just in the last month, I've been able to gather up all the youth pastors. The Lord's like, okay, here's the day. We got all of them together. And I thought it was just going to be a meet and greet for most of them. The Lord had other plans. And immediately, one of them spoke up and said, what are we doing? What are we doing? And does anybody have a plan? Because one of them was saying what the Lord had put on my heart, which was, I want to get past just saying hello. I want to get past just the greeting. Let's form partnerships and let's go after the students in this community. So we've began to develop a strategic plan to go after the students in the community. There's some youth pastors that already have connections with high schoolers and the teachers, so they are going after Lincoln High. And then me and another pastor, we are going after Glenn Edwards. And then there's another two pastors that are going after 12 Bridges. And this is our plan. Very simple. To see where we can serve. That's it. To see where we can be a resource. If there's nowhere, well, then there's nowhere, I guess. But that hasn't been the case. There has been areas where we've already found that school administrations want us there in, as much as we can and are allowed to do to be a resource to the school and to the students. I had a meeting with the vice principal of Glenn Edwards, and I asked him how he felt about youth pastors being on campus. And he said, as long as you're within your legal bounds, be on campus as much as you can. As long as the Christian club invites you there, we want you there. Push the Christian club to do events. Encourage them to do more. We see this as a good thing on campus. And the Lord opened that door. I didn't come in and have to put up a nice display and show them my plan and all that stuff. He was just like, yes, do it. It's a good thing. And I believe the Lord opened that door. It had nothing to do with me other than I just said, okay, Lord, I'll set this up. We'll do it. A cool thing with that, too, is I talked to that principal about the salt mine as far as the food closet partnering with the school. And he asked, what is your intention? What do you want to do? And I said, my intention is to serve you guys. My intention is to be a help to the students and staff in any way we can. My intention actually is that I will probably not benefit at all from this. I just want the school to benefit from that. And I think that struck a chord. The first time, a lot of times when people talk to you about wanting to do something, wanting to partner with you, there's usually something you have that they want. And I went forward in that saying, no, we want to help you, that's it. We're not coming here because you have something we want. We're not coming here because we want you to display our name proudly on the front of your school or anything like that. We simply want to be a part of what you're doing on campus and developing a culture in the students. School administrations are all for seeing their students volunteer, all for seeing their students understand the importance of community service and going beyond yourself. And so we get to play a role in helping develop that culture on the middle school campus. That's pretty cool. I enjoy that. I think the Lord's going to do good things with it, great things with it, or else I wouldn't have orchestrated it. And, of course, I have my hand in some of the Christian clubs. And the Lord has allowed me to mentor Joey and Hunter, who's not here last year, to run the Christian club. And this year, it was just going to be Hunter doing it. There's a lot to do for one student to do it. So I went to the other youth pastors and I asked them, hey, do you guys have students? Would you like to partner with me? Would you like to run this club together? Do you have students that could be potential leaders on campus that could want to run the Christian club as well? One raised his hand. I told him all about what I've done with NSP and partnering with Devin. He met Devin as well. And now he has gathered up three or four of his students who are going to partner with our students to make sure that the club on Glenn Edwards does not die and, in fact, does even better because now there's going to be a large leadership team of multiple grades. And so it looks like for the next 3 years the club is set. Where we were worried, like, Joey's going to high school. Hunter's only going to be there one more year. What happens after that? And the Lord's saying, I got it covered. Don't even worry. I had it covered years ago. Don't worry about it. It's good. Yeah. So Once again, praise the Lord. We're going to celebrate what he's doing. And then Joey's on the Lincoln High campus. I'm not going to be on that campus as much because the other youth pastors will be there and they'll partner with him and be a resource to him. But Joey on the first day has already went out and tracked down the advisors of the club and tracked down the club leaders because there's two or three Christian clubs on campus. And the Lord just gave him like a supernatural unction to go and do that. He went and found them, figured out, and is figuring out what is happening on campus and figure out where is his role on campus. He doesn't want to come in and start a club when there's already a club. He wants to be a part of what the Lord's doing already. So he contacted the Christian club leader and said, "Hey, where's the club at?" Said, we're working on it. And basically, Joey's been hounding him every week. "Where's the club? Where's the club? Where's the club?" I said, "Joey, if he doesn't get the club in a month, you start the club. And the Lord will open that door for you." But it looks like that's what's going to happen. Because there's two clubs on campus, it looks like the FCA is Fellowship of Christian Athletes, puts on these huge rallies, is going to keep doing their thing, and we want that. And then the Christian club is going to partner with them in some way. Joey's going to kind of push this so that they put on the rallies, and the Christian club does the follow-up and discipleship. The FCA, they have been putting on huge rallies, 400 student plus rallies on campus. It appears that they're having a little bit of trouble with the follow-up. They'll get students saved, people are raising their hands, people are accepting Christ, and then there's nothing. And so we want to help them transition that, get those students plugged into the local church or discipled on campus, and get a full turnaround. Not they're saved and then we never hear or see them ever again. And so we're praying that Joey will play a role in that. We're praying that the Lord will show us how that is going to unfold and how we need to, how we're going to direct students on campus and to what degree we're going to be involved in all of that. So all of that to say that the Lord is doing stuff in the community, both with the Salt Mine and other churches. He's using the churches together to collaborate together and get more done. There's only so much that one of us could. I really believe that I hold only one piece of the massive jigsaw puzzle that is the Lord's plan for this community. And I need the others to partner with me and for us to get together and say, we are going to go after the community together. We're going to go after the community as one. And we're going to communicate to our students that we are one. One of our students walked in on our meeting that we had. He was like, "Wait a second, all you guys know each other?" He's a student that goes to probably 4 out of the 7 youth groups. And he's like, "Wait, you guys talk? You know each other?" And so it was great to see it kind of click in his mind, like, wow, this is awesome. It's a joint effort, what they're doing. And so that has been really good. There's been blessings for that where a student may come and maybe they have enemies here or there's some sort of drama going on in our youth group or it just wasn't for them. And I can say, "Hey, don't just drop off the map. There's this other guy down the road. Go check his youth group out and see what's clicking down there. And maybe you're going to be plugged into there." What I see it as is I see the number of students that are being reached in Lincoln as one number, not the Salt Mine's reaching 10 to 30, not they're reaching 60. No, we have one number. I want to see that number grow, the number of people, number of students that we are ministering to grow. And that's part of the reason why us youth pastors are meeting together, so we can strategically see, what can we do to help these students, and what can we do to minister to these students together? I believe that the only reason I've been able to do all of this, though, one of the key reasons is because of the leadership of the Salt Mine. They encourage me to go out and do this. They push me to go out and do this kind of work. Well, that's not happening in many other churches. I'll share with you guys a frustration of mine. I get very frustrated with youth pastors. Youth pastors, the job of ministering to young people is seen often as just a stepping stone. The average turnaround for a youth pastor is 18 months or less. It's they're in, then they're out. I got really frustrated after from a couple churches. There's six like youth groups in town, and I've probably met 12 youth pastors in the past year and a half. It's like, what is that all about? And I got really frustrated. I said, "Lord, what the heck is going on? Send us people that are going to stay. Send us people that are going to stay. I want youth pastors are going to be in here for the long haul." And I started to get frustrated at these youth pastors. And then he spoke to me and said, "You have something very unique, Stephen, and I want you to take hold of this see it as a prize, as a treasure. And that is that here at the salt mine, my leaders have provided me with ground so that I can put a foundation on it. Where at other places, oftentimes what's happening is they've only provided enough ground for you to put a stepping stone on. You know, the ground you prepare for a foundation, the ground you prepare for a stepping stone are two different grounds, right? Yeah. And here, I really believe that there is a foundation in which I am able to do the Lord's work to this degree. And I am thankful for that. And I thank you guys for being a part of that. Yeah, so that was my frustration. And how the Lord showed me that this, what we have here, what we're doing, the Lord has pulled together the salt mine and the way it works. He's put the leaders here, and he's put the ideas and the thoughts and the heart and the passion all together to develop this foundation, which allows us to then go out and do work and do amazing work. So going off what Eric said, I believe that the Lord has a plan for Lincoln. He has a strategy, a very specific strategy. It's actually a very simple strategy, too, for Lincoln. And we are all a part of it. When I look through Scripture, I always wonder if these men and women knew the role that they played in this great plan that the Lord had going on, his plan for redemption, his plan for salvation. Did someone like Ruth, for example, know the uniqueness of her position? When you read Ruth, and I'm reading it now because it's the next book that our youth group's going to be going through. When you read Ruth, there's no, "and the Lord said to Ruth," or "and the Lord appeared to Boaz," or "and the Lord put on Naomi's heart." There's none of that there. And so as I'm reading it, it makes me click. It's like, hey, they're kind of like me. It's like, do they even realize? They probably don't even realize the position that they're in. And sometimes I think that about us too. We do not realize the position we're in because we're looking for more of a burning bush moment where, you know, our car catches on fire and it begins to speak to us or something like that. And I think that what the Lord is saying is your burning bush moment has already happened. It happened on the cross or in the empty tomb. And you said yes to it when you accepted my Son as Savior. Your moment already happened. The Lord already spoke to you. And he's already commanded you. And you are already a part of his plan. Amen? The reason why it's so detrimental for us to be looking for a burning bush moment when it's already happened is because we'll be wandering around looking like, what am I to do? What am I to do? And the Lord's already giving you a directive. He's saying, well, you're saying, can I be a part of your plan? He's saying, you're already a part of it. I've already commanded you. Go do it. And so we don't need to be spinning our wheels asking, Lord, can I be a part of it? And am I a part of the Lord's plan? Look, they're doing great things. You're doing great things through them. Can't I do great things too? Can't you work through me? He's saying, I'm wanting to. I'm going to do it. I want to do it right now, actually. Just say yes, and we're going to do it. I think it's because we miss the simplicity of God's plan. It's very simple. He has actually two steps. Two steps. The first step is God will shape and grow you, teaching you to walk in his Spirit and choose new life and not old flesh. The Lord is shaping you, molding you, growing you to position you for his plans for you. Ephesians 4:22 through 24 says, "You were taught to put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." This is how we're taught. The way of Jesus is to do this, to put on the new self. And it's only with the new self that we're able to go and minister to the world. But as soon as we have the new self on, we're already ready to minister to the world. Just put the new self on. When we talk about holiness, really when I'm saying holiness is I'm saying be a person of God. Anything that's God is God of God or is God's is holy. So he's saying be mine. Just be mine. And he's talking about, I don't have it down, but he says, you are my people. You're a holy and righteous people. You're mine. Be a holy people. And the righteousness goes right along with it. It's just to act like God's people. So be God's people. Righteousness is the natural flow of that, is just to act like God's people. These are the commands that Jesus gives us in Matthew when he answers the Pharisees about the greatest commandment. They say, what is the greatest commandment? He says, simple, love God and love your neighbor. That's it. So love God, let God be yours. God at the center. God is the focus. And what flows out of that focus is love. Love your neighbor. It's very, very simple. So God is teaching us to do this. My prayer for a long time, when I was in junior high, I had a really good junior high pastor, and I was in junior high, it was like impressed on me, and I don't think it was anything he said directly, but I would pray almost every day, Lord, teach me to walk in your spirit. Teach me to walk in your spirit. Lord, teach me in everything I do how to walk in your spirit. I picked that back up when I became an adult, and I began praying, Lord, teach me in everything I do, in the way I speak, in the way I think, in the way I teach, let it be in your spirit. Teach me to walk in your spirit. Because there's something in me that knows, if I'm walking in your spirit, I'm loving others. If I'm walking in your spirit, I'm doing your work. If I'm walking in your spirit, bam, I got the rest made. In fact, in 1 John, he's talking to believers, and he's talking about loving the believers. He said, look, the natural flow of this, love God, and if you're loving God, you're going to love others. If you're loving God, you're going to love others. It's just how it flows. If you're loving God, you're loving others. So that is step one. Mold, form you. That's what God wants to do, is shape you to look more and more like his son, to walk in the spirit, and so that these things are just flowing off of you. I'm going to read Galatians 5, 19 through 23 for the second way. So God has two steps. This is the second step. It comes out of Galatians. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, you guys know. Sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things there is no law. I included the top part, the works of the flesh, because I want you to see the difference between the two. And that we all know that someone who's acting according to the Spirit, I'm benefited by someone who's walking in the Spirit. I'm the one who benefits by you walking in the Spirit, right? And you guys are the ones who benefit if I'm walking in the Spirit. And they go, yeah, amen. And it goes in the reverse, too. If I am walking in the flesh, you guys feel it. My wife feels it. People close to me, they feel it. And we can all think of somebody, as I read that verse, you know, I used to think a lot. I was like, man, there's really someone that needs a little more of this. Someone needs a little more gentleness. And what we're really saying is, their fruit affects me. The fruit affects me. And this is how the Lord intended it. That we, when we're walking in the Spirit, our fruit would affect those around us. That our fruit would rub off on those around us. And so that love would be rubbed off on everybody else. And what's actually happening is people are being exposed to God when that's happening. They're being exposed to the Spirit when we are walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 13 through 14, he's saying, use your freedom correctly. For you are called to freedom, brothers. We have this freedom. In Christ, we have freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Serve one another. In America, sometimes we take our freedoms for granted, and as I'm becoming more aware of what's going on in our culture and our society, sometimes we take our freedoms and we just kind of toss it to the side. We don't actually use our freedoms to the full extent. Part of what we do on campus with the students is letting them know that they have a freedom to speak about Jesus on campus. And what God is saying is, Paul's saying here is, use your freedom for good. Use it for good. Don't use it for your selfish desires. Use it for good. So there's five quick ways I have. Imagine, I use this analogy with the youth group kids. There's not many of them here today, but they'll recognize it. For a moment, imagine with me you're in a world where the only way you could get from point A to point B was walking. You hadn't discovered running yet. The wheel wasn't invented. You could only walk. So you're walking. And then all of a sudden, what appears before you with the knowledge how to use it is a car. Think about the difference between walking and a car. Now, if I was trying to convince the world that this was something that they needed in their life, that this was something that they want, that this is something that we all need. We need to spread it around. Look how, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let other people use the car. I'm going to take people for rides. I'm going to let them experience the benefits of this vehicle opposed to walking. I am going to show them the benefits of having this in their life and that they need this in their life. And so it's very simple. God's plan is you show the world the benefits of His Son. You show the world the blessings of having Christ in your life. And you let the world benefit from it. Does that make sense? If I had that car, a lot of us were just like, oh yeah, it's in my garage, you know. And then somebody sees it like, oh wait, you have a car? Wait, you're a Christian? You believe in Jesus? It's like, yeah, I have it in the garage over there, but okay. Why would I do that, you know? I have this car. Dude, you need this car. Like, you need one. I know how to get you one, but here, let me give you a test drive real quick. We're going to go around the block, and they'll be like, oh my gosh, I need this. So these are five quick ways that we benefit the world and show them that Jesus is the one you need. God's plan is simple. It's simply save souls. Two steps. Molding you, and then you walking in the Spirit and unleashing you on the world. So quick ways we can. Love others unconditionally. It's simple. But I don't put any requirements. I don't want to put any requirements on the people I love. It's like if I put requirements on people I love, am I actually effectively demonstrating God's love? Because that's the goal, is to accurately demonstrate God's love to others. When we put conditions on our love for others, what we're actually doing is we're saying, hey, I have this cool car, but it's 100 degrees out. I'm not going to turn the air conditioning on today because you didn't do this, so I'm going to withhold a little bit of the air. But if you do this, I'll let you experience the coolness of this car. So remember that we're ambassadors of God. Number two, it is in your nature as salt and light to be a blessing to the world. It's in your nature. Be salt, a preserving and flavorful force. Preserving force, not a destructive force. And light. Light is a revealer of truth through our actions, our speech, and our thoughts. This is how we can bless the world. Be salt and light. It's in your nature to do this. Because the Lord says, you are salt and light. You're a follower of me. You are this. So be this. Be someone that preserves. Be someone that acts like salt and acts like light. Number four, go beyond what's required. Just go beyond what's required. It's amazing the people we encounter at the thrift store who are amazed that I don't only load their vehicle, but I make sure their item is secure and I go beyond what's required. They didn't pay for, you know, my service of making all this happen. But this is a simple example of just going beyond what's required of me. Just going that extra step because Christ has gone far beyond for us. This is all about demonstrating Christ to them, letting them experience the benefits of Christ. Look and search out for opportunities to serve. Actively looking for opportunities where you can serve. These are all very simple. Eric said, the Lord has strategically positioned His people to do His will. I quote that correct? Yeah, strategically positioned His people. And He strategically positioned you to live a life that demonstrates God's love to others, that demonstrates the benefits of having Jesus in their lives. You are strategically positioned for that. Your burning bush moment has already happened. And so now God's saying, go out and do. Let me mold you and shape you. But you walk in the Spirit and allow me to impact the world through you. It's very simple, right? It's very simple. So I'm going to close in prayer as the worship team hops up. If you guys join me. Father, we thank you this morning as we're reminded that you have included us in your plan for salvation, to save souls, to see our families and our friends come to know you. I thank you, Father, that you are actively molding us and showing us how to walk in your Spirit so that we can demonstrate the benefits of having Jesus in our lives and the need for Jesus in our lives. Remind us every day, no matter where we're at, what situation we wake up to, where we work, where we play, where we sleep, that you are strategically positioning us to have an impact and to impart your will on the world. to see souls saved and come to you. And thank you this morning. Amen.